The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. It is hour number 3, 9 o'clock hour, our final hour, hanging out together for this Wednesday morning, August 3rd, 2022. Hope your day is already filled with multiple blessings. Hope that all kinds of good things are happening. Interesting things have happened since we last spoke, when we were about 24 hours ago. We're sort of tracking the Pelosi plane, as was the world. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? Where everybody knows where your plane is. Modern technology. So she landed in Taiwan and met with the Taiwanese president, also a woman. In fact, there was an interesting angle. I've sort of been keeping it. Her entire visit was between yesterday's show and today's show. She was wheels up out of Taiwan just a few hours ago. And while she was there, had some theories as to why the Chinese seemed so particularly upset about her visit.
Hope that it's really clear that while China has stood in the way of Taiwan participating and going to certain meetings, that they understand that they will not stand in the way of people coming to Taiwan. They didn't say anything when the men came.
They didn't say anything when the men came. Well, got a point about that. However, I think that what is uniquely grating about this particular visit at this particular time to the Chinese is they thought they pretty well had the American government in their pocket. They had a president in Joe Biden who was more than glad to suck up to the Chinese on a daily basis and scold those who don't. And they thought, so having some rogue congressional delegation peel off and come to Taiwan, which they absolutely consider to be communist Chinese territory, and now they're learning that at least some people in America feel otherwise, that was just particularly grating to them. I think that, rather than Nancy Pelosi's personal plumbing, was some of the Chinese motivation there. Just having spoken to Attorney General Paxton, so I want to share with you some thoughts about his race, about the Abbott race, and about the Patrick race. These are all going to be victories, and they are not going to be close. They're not going to be Cruz, Beto, O'Rourke close to 2.5 points. And I know Beto is back. There's no getting rid of him. Maybe this will do the trick when Abbott trounces him fairly soundly. Democrats are very energized. They bless their hearts, they always kind of are. I got to tell you, as red states go, Texas Democrats are, in a whole lot of deep red states, the Democrats just, they just got to go, well, time to get steamrolled again. Texas Democrats, to their credit, don't do that. They're going to get beat up and down the line, but they're going to show up. They're going to make it interesting, which is, by the way, why Texas Republicans, the party, individuals, candidates, voters, talk show guys, we all need to be really on our game and make sure that we don't rest on these laurels, which is why every time I talk about how Texas is absolutely still a reliable red state, and why Abbott absolutely beats Beto, and why Dan Patrick absolutely wins for lieutenant governor, and why Ken Paxton absolutely wins for attorney general. And I steadfastly believe those things. They are going to happen. The thing that enables me to say these things without fear of overconfidence on your part is that we're going to show up too, is that we're going to make sure that our status as a red state happens, because we are going to show up. in sufficient numbers so that these, what's the best adjective, comfortable margins of victory can be achieved. Now, is Abbott going to beat Beto by double digits? Is that going to be going to beat him by 12? I don't think so. But I don't think it's going to be 2.5, which was the lightning in a bottle Beto Ted Cruz margin in 2018. Speaking of Abbott, he was on with Hannity last night, and they were talking about the busloads of immigrants to the going up to D.C. The whole premise being, if Biden won't come to the border, we're going to bring the border to Biden.
Believe me, we have more buses headed their way as we speak right now. But Sean, this just shows the hypocrisy of these liberal leaders up in the Northeast who think, well, that border crisis created by Joe Biden, that's fine as long as it's Texas that has to deal with it. But as soon as they have to deal with the real consequences of Biden's border cause crisis, they're up in arms calling for the National Guard, as you point out, dealing with just a tiny fraction of what we have to deal with every single day. We're going to keep sending those buses up there until they fully understand, and most importantly, until the Biden administration does its job to enforce the laws concerning the border.
That's going to be a lot of buses. Even if it were 50 more buses in the next 50 days, it would still be a tiny, tiny fraction of those who are coming across the border. And I tend to support the, and again, please understand that when I use the term political theater, I don't use it dismissively. Theater is a good thing. But by political theater, it's stuff that shows people something. It is a display of something. It is something that people examine and regard and that they absorb as messaging. And the messaging here is, and it just is paying off in spades, when big city mayors who are receiving an influx of actual border state migrants all of a sudden realize, wait a minute, this may adversely affect us. This may adversely affect quality of life. It may adversely affect our spending. It may adversely affect our resources. Yeah, no kidding, guys. Welcome to the party.
All right, so you got their attention, and I hope that everybody follows suit. Because honestly, you've been dealing with this not to enforce the laws of the land. I don't think you really have any choice, because I don't think the state of Texas ought to bear the brunt of his bad policies. And I think that was the right move. Now, are you getting more and more buses? Are you going to send more and more people?
So because of the increased influx of people coming into our state, and because what the Border Patrol is doing, they're just processing the paperwork of these people coming illegally and then dumping off these immigrants to Washington, D.C., and we're looking at other cities to send them to.
Well, New York sounds like a good one.
We're looking for other cities. Where should we send them? There's no shortage. There's no shortage. All righty, 915-866-660-5759. Pivot to something that's about our lives. Here in the 9 o'clock hour in particular, we tend to do some lifestyle stuff, some stuff about the culture, some things about our lives, and some questions that arise. So let's do one of those. Let me add that to our topical layers and anything else that you'd like to bring at 866-660-5759. You have heard me frequently lament the phenomenon we've all seen, a husband and wife or maybe an entire family out at dinner, and they're on their cell phones. I mean, in lieu of talking to each other. And if you grab a phone and look at something real quick and then resume, you know, actual human contact, that's fine. But there are people I've seen entire families just, and they're all on their iPhones and iPads, and it just absolutely breaks my heart. Our slavish devotion to screens is a profoundly serious social obstacle that is hindering child development. It is hindering marital relations. It is hindering interpersonal contact. It's terrible, and it's an opportunity for us. It's a real challenge for us to put the dang stuff down and actually have conversations with your kids or with your wife, with your spouse, with your family, et cetera, et cetera. So against that backdrop, so I'm going to share a story. It's Brian Curtis handing off to Scott Gordon on Channel 5. And let's let the story play out. Wait for it. And then I'm going to share with you what I think about it. Might surprise you. But first, let's take a look at the latest Tim Love restaurant in Fort Worth. Apparently has an Italian place up his sleeve called Caterina's. And there, and you ain't going to see that those cell phones coming out of the tables, because they're not going to let you have them.
Scale restaurants around the country have dress codes, but few have a rule like a new Fort Worth restaurant is enforcing: no cell phones. Here's Scott Gordon.
In the historic Fort Worth stockyards, where cattle once roamed, a new Italian restaurant called Caterina's is bringing back the old days in a unique way. Customers have to lock their cell phones in a bag that won't be unlocked until they walk out the door.
Thank you. Take care. How
you? We wanted to make something that was special.
It's all the idea of owner and chef Tim Love, who says his staff will be on the lookout for diners who disobey.
Well, we're going to kindly ask them to put the phone in the bag. We've already had that happen. Some people forget, and they just have their phone in their pocket. And we give them the bag. They put the phone in the bag. It's not a big deal.
He says he wants to create a place where customers can disconnect and actually talk to each other without constant distraction. Caterina's is a cozy place, just 1,700 square feet. Only 40 seats. That includes the six at the bar. No cell phones there either.
If you can't possibly deal without your phone for 2 hours, this is not the place for you. I mean, people go to movies, they don't get on their phone.
Love suggests anyone who just has to be reachable can give someone the restaurant's phone number. They'll bring this old-fashioned landline phone to your table. And there's one more thing, a dress code. Men required to wear jackets. Women trusted to dress classy. For men who forget, they'll loan you a jacket. But it's the no cell phone policy that's getting the attention and just might be the only restaurant rule like it in the country.
So then you're like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy myself. And that's what happens. And it's been really refreshing.
A trip back in time when we weren't all in constant touch. In Fort Worth, Scott Gordon, NBC 5.
Okay, let's discuss. First of all, God bless them. If they want to do this, they totally can. How many times have we had this talk show? It's their restaurant. It's their rules. Hell no. I am the guy telling you, put the dang phone down. But you know what I do? I put the dang phone down. If we're out with Ethan and Regina, with all of us, we have a no phone rule and we enforce it. Shocker. So the notion of walking into a place. And by the way, it's very visual. It's a little gray and green bag that you put a thing in, you close it, and I don't think you even can open it until you walk out and they let you. Just no. Now, I think some artists, I remember Jack White at House of Blues, I forget, a couple years ago, and I think almost all of his tours do it, where and I actually kind of support this, because it prevents a thousand yahoos from having their phones up in front of their faces while trying to watch a concert. And the artist doesn't like to be seen through a thousand phone lenses, want people to actually consume it organically. And you can either go or not go, do that or not do that. I kind of dig that and understand this. And by the way, if Tim Love wants to do, there's a part of it that I kind of like and admire, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't, no, no. The best solution is you practicing a certain amount of discipline, is you having a certain amount of self-control. I mean, in a way, this is kind of pathetic. We got to do this? And I guess the answer immediately comes back. Yep, we do. We do. Because that's how reliant we are. That's how, again, slavishly devoted to the screens that we are. This notion of the rest, if somebody forgets or something, or they notice you got your cell phone out in your pocket, they're going to, boom, 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 excuse me, you need to put this in this bag. Do they have the right to have that rule? Of course they do. Do I have a certain abiding respect for it? Yes, I do. Do I understand its intent? Yes, I do. No. Nope, 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 nope. You tell me. 866-660-5759. Multi-topic Wednesday in progress. We're in Fort Worth. Robert, hey, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. I'm enjoying the show as usual.
Thank you.
I guess my concern, I'll try to get right to it, is I don't feel like Republican leaders are taking O'Rourke's campaign seriously enough.
Measured by what?
Well, I don't see any campaigning for Governor Abbott on the part of our senators, any of the people that he ran against.
No. So you'd be looking for some party unity from Don Huffines and Alan West?
It'd be nice.
That won't be happening. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it will. I don't know.
Well, I see that Beto is really trying to reach out to Republicans. And is the Republican Party sufficiently worried that he might make some inroads? Because I don't believe that Beto is a moderate. There's not a moderate bone in his body.
No, of course not.
I believe he's a hardcore leftist. Correct. However, you know, he can come across as somewhat convincing. What is your opinion on this? Couple
of things, because valid points all around. I think everybody, you know, who was here just four short years ago remembers what happened when we don't show up enough. That is when an actual confirmable rock star like Ted Cruz can come within a hair's breadth, well, two and a half. That's closer than anybody thought it was going to be. And that was because the Democrats were just on fire. Will they be as on fire this time? I don't think so, because I think a lot of people are on to him. A lot of conservatives are. A lot of Republicans are. As far as party unity, as far as the sort of the – and I love Don Huffines and I love Alan West. I don't look for them to be real vocal in getting their people to come out for Abbott. I think there's still a lot of bad blood there. But as far as the average Abbott – and listen, I'll put this to the test. I'll do it today or any day, maybe multiple times. The average Alan West or Don Huffines voter clearly knows what's at stake now. They may really, really wish that their guy had prevailed. They may wish that Abbott was a little more like Ron DeSantis or a little more like Huffines or a little more like Alan West in a few ways. But they know that it is their job, their solemn duty to show up and make sure we don't get Governor Beto O'Rourke. And I think they will reliably do so.
In the primaries, I voted for Mr. West, mm-hmm. and I was hoping that he would win. I really like him. However, I'm worried that if Beto should win the governorship, that's at least in his mind or the Democrats' mind, fast track to the White House in 2024, 2026.
Yeah. Governor of Texas, a big political job in Texas, it has proven to be quite the springboard in the direction of importance in Washington, even the presidency. If we play hard and play smart, and I'm confident that we will. And let's put this to the test. I wonder if, and I'll do that. We got 30 some minutes left today and 3 months left before the election. I would love to hear from Alan West and Don Huffines voters who just can't do it. They're not going to vote for Abbott because you guys and I need to have a conversation. 9:26. Yeah, ain't nobody going to be calling you from Caterina's, the Italian restaurant, the Stockyards of Fort Worth, because they have not just a cell phone ban. They're not confiscating them. They give you a little high-tech bag, a little thing to stick it in, and it can't come out until you leave the restaurant. They will let your cell phone out. I love the intent of this. I love the idea of a cell phone free, say that five times fast, a cell phone free restaurant. And yet the notion of, it's just pathetic that we need it. And so Rhonda just came in and made a point. I also know somebody else that would love it is Lisa. So I'm not saying don't do it. It's their restaurant. They could totally do it. I admire it in a way. It's just, I guess my thing is I just want everybody to show some self-control. Put your dang phone down. The notion that you have to put it in some stupid little bag that the restaurant has just drives me crazy. And yet, I'm guessing a majority of you just love it. We'll find out. 9:32. Let's find out what's on in the news. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. Oh, Okay, I'm officially just getting too cute now. Telephone songs. Little ELO from Out of the Blue, Telephone Line. Your cellular telephone line, which of course is a contradiction in terms. Not happening at Katerina's in Fort Worth, brand new Tim Love restaurant. I may be coming around here because while I've focused on the weirdness that I would feel giving them my phone to stick in that stupid little pouch, even though I have self-control and can leave the thing alone, and Lisa does too, and the kids do because we make them, so we wouldn't need this, I can see people loving it because most people don't have that self-control. And the notion of a restaurant where you are assured, I guess two things. There's the depressing sight of a couple or a family paying attention to their phones and not each other. But the other thing also is the specter of a conversation on the cell phone at the table right next to yours. And I don't know what it is about people on phones, whether it's on a plane, like before takeoff, or anywhere, that I don't know about you, but if you are sitting next to me, or if you're somewhere and I happen to be on a phone, I'm talking at this volume, my normal conversational volume. There's something about a cell phone that makes people, where they're sitting there talking to you, it's like, yeah, boy, sure is hot today in Texas. Boy, I can't wait till November when we can all, eat on a patio again. Oh, hang on, I got to grab this call. Yeah, Bill, about those documents. It's like there's something about being on the phone that makes somebody scream. And I guess that ain't going to happen at Katerina's. So that is good. But interestingly, even deeper, they also have the dress code. Got to have a jacket. And if there's anything I've observed in Texas, we do not do dress codes by and large. I mean, you can be at a high-dollar steakhouse, and there's somebody in, a short-sleeve shirt and cargo shorts. Now, it's probably a, $200 Tommy Bahama shirt and cargo shorts that don't cost, much less than that. But it's nice stuff. But the whole jacket thing, that is very old school. And I do kind of dig that. That's kind of interesting. But woe be unto you if you show up without one. This happened to me one time. I was 19. Worked at Sidley and Austin, the Washington office of Sidley and Austin, a Chicago firm that will famously go down in history as the place where Barack and Michelle Obama met. That was long after I was walking the halls of the D.C. office at 1730 Pennsylvania Avenue doing clerking, research, billing stuff, messenger stuff. Had a great time. Worked my way through college there at Sidley and Austin. And they had a birthday party for one of the partners, an attorney named Lee Monroe, who was always unbelievably nice to me. And they had a big lunch at some restaurant a few blocks from the White House. And we all went, and it was great. And it's funny because it was a lot of lawyers, a lot of legal secretaries, and me. I guess I made the cut for some dumb reason. So I walk in, and I had like a dress shirt on, but I didn't have a jacket. For one thing, it was probably Washington summer, 95 degrees, 95% humidity, and they wouldn't let me in because I didn't have a jacket. And there was like an immediate revolt on my lawyer buddies. But they said, no, we got one you can wear. So at the time, I'm 19, so I'm already 6'3", but probably about 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. And the only jacket they had was for somebody who was about a foot shorter and about 100 pounds heavier. I looked like I was in a Jackie Gleason sketch putting on this stupid jacket. I said, do I really look better than I did 5 minutes ago? Anyway, so if you go to Katerina's, bring a jacket, and your cell phone is going into the little techno sack that will enable you to not even get a hold of it. I have a feeling people are going to love that. It'll make me feel weird to do it, but I think there are benefits to be gleaned. Now, so I'm going to go to those calls in a minute. But first, let me talk to a guy who had answered a direct thing that I asked, and that was people who voted for Don Huffines or voted for Alan West, the primary challengers to Greg Abbott. And the question arises, will those people come around and vote for Abbott, wishing every day that their guy had won, understandably, but will they, show up and do what's right in order to prevent Governor Beto? So a little feedback on that. We are in McKinney. Hey, Robert, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm great. Very nice to have you.
Hey, so I voted for Dunhoffine. Mm-hmm. I am going to vote for Abbott. The reason why is because I don't want Beto to get a vote. If you don't vote for Abbott, I feel like you're giving Beto a vote. But I know a lot of people who are not going to vote for Abbott. They instead are petitioning and are trying to urge a whole bunch of people to have a write-in campaign for Dunhoffine.
Oh, sweet Christ. sorry. first of all, love Don. If you are 1,000% correct, the time for battle for Don, for Alan, was the primary. It's right. Mathematically, that would not be a vote for Beto fully. But what it is it's failing to show up for Abbott, which makes the Beto governorship more likely. So to anybody, so thank God for you and your wisdom in this. To anybody, just anybody, any Republican, envisioning some cute little trick or some little write-in thing, even for somebody I love, or sitting it out because you still have the sads that your guy didn't win the primary. Know this, you are helping Beto win. That simply means that a Beto governorship is okay with you. And if it's not, then do something about it.
That's exactly how I feel about the whole situation. And in fact, I have gone on their Facebook page and said, you guys are crazy. You guys got it wrong. All this kind of stuff. Of course, you know, they're calling me names, but that's okay.
Well, careful.
Right. But I'm still going to do what is right because he is our Republican candidate, and I will vote Republican no matter what.
And a Beto and Abbott on his worst day is a million miles better than Beto on his best. So thank you for the clarity, Robert. If I need to help any of you out on this, let me know. I'm here every morning, and it's free. This is memories of 2016. It with slightly different calculus. There were Republicans who just couldn't bring themselves to vote for Trump for whatever reason. I said, listen, so that means a Hillary presidency is okay with you? Well, no. Yes, it is. Now, obviously, it's Texas. Trump was going to win Texas, so it's not really like we were going to throw. But I said, if you lived in a swing state, if you lived in an Ohio, in a Florida, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, just to name a few. Any Republicans who just had some, had their drawers in a wad for some reason about Trump, they helped Biden win in 2020 and in 2016. If you don't show up for the Republican, you are absolutely facilitating a Democrat win, period. So just own that, know it. And if a Beto governorship is not okay with you, then show up and vote for Abbott. All right, we're in Carrollton. John, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, good to talk to you.
Hi.
I'm formerly John in Frisco.
It's awesome. He's not driving. He's literally moved. Very nice. Hey, are you still doing something having to do with, like, rocking horses?
No, I didn't do anything with rocking horses.
That must be said. There was somebody else, I think it was John in Frisco, who made wooden horses. Now I'll hear from him. But anyway, time's short. What you got?
That was not me. Okay, so I love what Tim Love is doing. I love his restaurants. As a restaurateur who wants his clients to have an experience,
yep,
he wants them to come, and he sees what you and I, what we all see when you go to a restaurant.
Yep.
You see four people staring at their phones.
That's right.
Two kids staring at their phones while maybe mom and dad are talking.
Yep.
And I want to come back. To me, it's a personal responsibility issue, and I want to come back to that, but let me say this about the dress code. I went to a steakhouse the other day, and my wife and I looked around and saw people wearing shorts and baseball caps. And there is a need to teach my sons that there's a certain etiquette you have when you go places.
Good for you.
If it's a dress code, that's one thing. But the cell phones are the same thing. And we have lost all sense of etiquette, courtesy with cell phones because we walk around like drones because we have earbuds in.
Yep.
We're always on a conversation, not paying attention. Amen.
Amen.
But here's why I'm concerned about elections, because we have personal responsibility. You and I embrace that. But post-COVID, our world does not embrace personal responsibility. They want the government to tell us what we can do. Yep. There were so many friends that I thought would be very excited about the Dobbs decision on abortion, but they were not, and they feel like the government's telling them what they can do, but they want the government to be able to allow them to take our guns.
So I know. Gotcha. I'm going to try to put one other person on, John. Superb. Congrats on the move, and thank you. And another really great point is this is Tim Love striking a blow and saying, listen, maybe people will come into my restaurant. They will simply not be able to be on the cell phone, and they'll rediscover how cool it is to actually talk to people at the same table. I can't do it. I get it. Well, yes, I can. Let's hop to Plano. Mike, you got 30, 40 seconds. Clock's running. It's all you. You get to take us out.
Good morning, brother. Hey, I think that this is a funny idea. I think that the restaurant deal is actually a good idea. It's kind of throwback to the trail dust or whatever it was, where they cut your tie off when you went in there.
Exactly.
So I mean, I think if you go in there and you know they're going to take your phone, hey, okay, let's have a good time. And the dress code, if you don't have a jacket, they've got a jacket for you. Okay, this is fun. It's a cool little shtick. Let's roll with it. I can dig it. Now, the only thing that I can see might be a blowback
real
for
quick,
them.
Real quick,
is the Instagrams and the Yelps and the Google reviews.
Oh, good point. That they will. Listen. You could probably give them a good Instagram review after you leave. I have a feeling Tim Love not worried about that. Mike, thank you. And honestly, proof's in the pudding. It's kind of a statement that Tim's making with this restaurant, Katerina's in Fort Worth. The proof's in the pudding because we just talked about it for an hour. Success! 950.
The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine.
Tony Bennett, 96
come
today, kids.
The, day you're mine.
The best is yet to come.
I'm gonna teach you to fly.
This was a Sinatra hit in 1964.
We've only tasted the wine.
Tony recorded it first. This is 1962.
We're gonna drain a cup dry.
Oh, real quick, also, Jeffrey Holder was the Trinidad-born actor who did the Uncool a Nut, which I was riffing on earlier. Glad we covered that. I'm clear that up.
You think you
for producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K. R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Gordon Griffin, for the journalistic excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Stay cool. Be good. And have a great day. We will see you in the morning for the Thursday show right here on 660 AM The Answer. I'm Mark Davis. Mike Gallagher is next.
The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.